So a lot of people don't know of what's called an FEL, which is a federal explosives license. So when you think ATF, it's actually, you know, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives, ATFE or whatever, you know, BATFE. There's an explosives part. So, yes, they regulate explosives, but there is a license you can get, the FEL, and that's your federal explosives license. And you can do a lot of really cool things with that. I mean, like, say that you're doing industrial-level blasting, and you need access to explosives to do industrial-level blasting. You're in the construction industry, you know, you may need to occasionally blast or apply some real explosives to, like, blow a hole in something to build or something, you know. If you're doing, like, professional-level blasting, you have an FEO, so you can order your explosives. You have to have explosives to do blasting. So they have a process they use to process that along and put it into their possessions so they can use it for their industrial purposes. So the explosives license covers industry, anything within a commercialized industry or any type of, you know, undertaking that we need to do, use explosives for. It handles all that. So it doesn't matter if it's someone doing pyrotechnics, like maybe they're getting access to an explosives license in order to just build like crazy fireworks or like kind of, I don't know, they're doing stuff with Hollywood where they're making RPGs, you know, RPG heads that are live RPGs that they shoot through an actual, you know, RPG. And we're talking one that like just you or I could own, right? So when you're thinking about all that technology and everything that they're putting into that with the explosives, it can cover a wide amount of different things, industrial use as well as obvious uses of explosives like military purposes and things. So you could do it from a pyrotechnic standpoint, like in our case. If I'm not even suggesting that we would get an FEO, but I'm just going to say as a for instance, right, for my industry, because I film a lot of guns and everything, we're doing, you know, demos and just kind of showing things off and making cool videos. That's kind of also in like an entertainment sense as well. You know, we kind of think of more like a prop house. So then you may have like the Hollywood types that have access to the pyrotechnics and explosives to like make their films. Like, you know, they have to make things blow up to like film, you know, and things like that. So that's the way I would approach it. You know, there's actually a few YouTube channels. I don't know the names of them right off the top of my head. I think, one of them's called Ordnance Lab, right? So there's a channel called Ordnance Lab. And what they do is they are, like I'm a gun channel, these guys are an explosives channel. So they have their FEL, and they get all the hand grenades and claymore mines and tank rounds, and they make their own IEDs because they have the licensing to do all of that and be able to buy the explosives, have them brought in, do it in a safe and efficient manner and on a special range that has to be set up a certain way. You know, there's all these rules you have to follow in terms of setting these things off and stuff. But there's guys that make YouTube videos about that as well, just like I make gun videos. So if I got an FEO, it would be under the same sort of situation where I would have an intention of making content with this stuff, right, just like these guys are. Just like they could get an FFL and then deal in machine guns and stuff because of what they're doing with the explosives. So this thing, the two go hand in hand for the same reasons in terms of the licensing requirements and things. So it is possible to get it, yes.
And do you know the process for getting that? Is it similar to the, you know, the FFL?
The FEO, I would say, is probably a little more stringent because I was talking to a friend of mine. I'm not gonna call him out in this particular podcast because I don't know if he wants to be mentioned. So I'm not gonna say who it is. But anyway, he had mentioned that. So there's a friend of mine that has an FEO out in California. And what he does, you know, he had to go through a very similar process. So I talked to him and I asked him, I'm like, hey, you know, what'd you have to do to get your FEO and everything like that? And he said, well, you have to go take like this week-long course where they talk to you about like safe explosives handling, and they go through some of the technical stuff like, hey, if you're going to transport it, here's the thing you got to transport it in. You have to have what's like a explosives magazine. It's like a special box that you transport the explosives in so that if they detonate inadvertently, like out on the road, on the highway or something like that, it contains, you know, the explosion, makes it a little bit safer to transport those explosives. It somehow contains most of it and makes it a little bit safer if something happens to go off, you know. So you have to carry them in a special magazine that's mobile that goes in your vehicle. You have to have all the paperwork in order and travel with it. So if they stop and you got freaking, you know, truckload of explosives, you can be like, hey, here's my damn paperwork, leave me alone, blah, blah, blah. You know, just like any other type of paperwork. Just like if you had Class 3, like your suppressor paperwork, and you got pulled over on the side of the road, and a cop asked you for your paperwork, and you've got a copy of your suppressor tax stamp. Same type of thing, but for explosives. They would see you have the license and go, okay, cool. Go about your day or whatever. It's cool.
Have a great day.
Yep.
Bye.
Go blow some stuff up. See ya. But yeah, I mean, they're actually pretty lax about it. You have a ledger. You keep track of everything in. Okay. Like a binder, you know.
It's like
here's
a
how much
log.
Deck cord I've got. Here's much of this. You know, a list.
Chem log.
Right. You have a log of how much
to.
Of everything, and you audit it. You know, if you blow up a whatever it is, you take it off the inventory and move it along. Just pretty simple. As long as all that's in order, they don't generally give anybody a hard time about it. As long as everything's safe, no one complains about it. It's about all they really care about. It's actually not that hard to get, to be honest with you. Now, on the property, wherever you're going to be storing the explosives, maybe that's something we should talk about.
Sure.
Okay. To my knowledge, it has to be a special magazine that's on site. So you have an on-site magazine that's permanent that the explosives go into. It has to be a certain dimensions, certain construction parameters. It has to be made a very specific way. It has to be a certain shear strength. And, you know, industrial-wise, it has to be made a very specific way to withstand the explosives. And the explosives are stored inside this magazine. And then there's requirements that say, all right, then that magazine has to be a certain amount of space away from another person's home or a public road. Then they have to do tests around the area and make sure that there's nothing that, if that thing did blow up, it would harm anything in the area. So it's got to be, it has to be a certain distance away from civilization. Right. And it's got to be on, you'd have to own the land. You'd have to buy that land and then put the explosives magazine on it. Then you'd have to be able to secure the magazine, you know, put barbed wire fence and gates and cameras and, you know, you have to secure it because it's freaking explosives, you know. You have to put a guard on it, you know. You can't just leave it in the middle of nowhere. It's got to be attended. It's a freaking explosives magazine. But you have that requirement. You have to have a certain structure it has to be in on your property. And it's got to be a certain distance away from a house or a road.
So it's pretty cost prohibitive just to have it for kicks.
I would say
you got to pay full-time security to staff it, check IDs, of any, you know, make sure it's
you can put it on your private residence, pretty sure. But if you just had a big piece of property that you owned and you had a section of your property you wanted to use to put that magazine on and you just had in a little road on your property, you kind of veered off and went down there to that area, you know, where it is. No one would really know it was back there. It was well hidden. It was your property. You lived there. You're kind of riding around, checking it all the time. I'd probably be okay. It'd be okay to do that. But ultimately, you're responsible for it. Just like in FFL, I was responsible for all the guns.
Yeah, you told me a story yesterday about explosives and how anytime any explosive is used in anything, they can tell who made it, where it came from, what batch it was, and in other words, explosives have a chemical fingerprint.
Yep.
Which I had no idea about. And so
I think the logical thing for them to do would be to, you know, every time they mix up a batch of explosives, every batch is going to be slightly different.
Of course.
Just enough to where, okay, well, we take a sample of this, and now all the explosives we made out of this compound, we're going to divvy this off.
So each batch, they got to take samples.
Take a sample.
For testing.
And then that
records.
Way, that shows up in a bomb crater, they swab it, and then they process it and go, oh, matches this batch, and this batch we know to exactly this percentile we know to be an exact match because it was limited to that.
Mm-hmm. And they know everybody that they sold that batch
that's
to.
That's right.
Because they have to keep detailed records.
That's right.
And everybody has to log what they use and what it's for.
That's right. Pretty wild, isn't it?
It's fascinating, though. Explosives have a fingerprint.
They do.
It's bizarre.
It is bizarre, but
interesting factoid if you're ever on Jeopardy. You're welcome.